against him?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
You know what?
He was getting mauled.
They missed a lot of PIs tonight.
Yep.
And I tell you what, if you think that they let them guys get away with it and be draped all over our receivers tonight, you wait till next Saturday. I'm telling you, man, Tony.
You are damn straight about that. You are telling the truth.
I am so sick and tired of Dick Satan and the evil empire down there in Tuscaloosa. I am absolutely
I hate that
sick
guy.
Of it.
Look, hate's
and
a bad
you know
thing.
What?
Hate's a bad thing. Listen, it's Sunday morning and hate's a bad thing. I hate that SOB.
Well,
he is humorless. He's dark. He's evil. He needs to be stopped. He really does. And he should be dragged from the line and severely beaten.
Let me ask you this, Bino. Would Derek Barnett have already broken the sack record if he would get a few holding calls against
him?
The dude gets held on every play, man,
every play.
And he's still going to break the record.
Every play.
He's going to get WWE, and he's going to get close. He's going to get tackled next week, man, and there won't be no call. I mean, how do you not
you
go? How do you
so
go
right.
consecutive week? How do you go consecutive week, Bino, and not have a holding penalty thrown against Barnett when he's getting mugged out there on every play?
And here's the thing about Alabama. They've gone a whole season before with never having a holding call, which is unprecedented, by the way.
Let me get off that and make a couple points about the game, Tony. Mm-hmm. I think your caller hit on it earlier. I didn't get to hear all of it, but one guy said, the opening series, we get a turnover, we get the ball at midfield. Mm-hmm. You know what? I knew right then we were going to go three and out. Man, you got to be aggressive right off the start. And you got to have a stick play. And like you said, throw it up top to the franchise, Juwan Jennings. My gosh, man. I mean, the dude needs to be getting the ball at least 10 times a game.
Here's my thing. I don't know how you don't throw five balls up for grabs to him. At least three. And I'm not joking when I say this. Three plays a game. I don't care if they're all intercepted. We already had seven turnovers as it was. Throw the freaking ball up to him. It's silly. Is there anybody else in college football like Juwan Jennings right now? Please show him to me if there's somebody like him.
I agree with you, Tony. A couple more things. Hey, I would have no problem, especially when they had the penalty there. We got half the distance right there at the end. You know what? Our defense is gassed. Alvin Kamara, son, made some money today.
Yep.
Right there, I'll take my chances on one play and let him get in there and get a yard and a half, 2 yards. And you know what?
Yep.
You're not going to hear me or many more fans saying, well, we should have went for the tie there and everything else. You stick it in there, win the game, and get out of there. You know, I wouldn't have a single problem if we'd have went for two right there and didn't get it, because you're putting a lot of pressure on your defense. Man, our D was on the field too long, you know, and under the circumstances, they played great. We're playing so scrapped, man, with injuries. We got guys out there that people have to look up on the roster and see who they are.
Amazing, isn't it?
Tony, I'll call you and Bino next week for camera. God bless you.
God bless
Good
you.
Good stuff. We appreciate it.
Bino, give me a final thought here, and then I'm going to jump the great Jerry Colquitt in here.
Tony, we're halfway through the season. They've exceeded my expectations. I couldn't be more proud of a Tennessee football team than I am this one. And I can't wait to see what the rest of the season holds. And I think the second half's going to be every bit as special as first half was.
So fun, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Tony. Thanks for everything you're doing. It's the season's been fun, but you've made it even more enjoyable. Appreciate everything you're doing.
Bino, I love you. You matter to me, man. I love you, brother.
Back at you, Tony. Thanks. Have a good evening.
I'll be in touch in the morning. The great Bino, ladies and gentlemen, has left the building, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us again, 865-200-5402. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome in as I'm awaiting the arrival of Jerry Colquitt. And again, my number is 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight as we go over the 4-hour mark here on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter. Fan reaction, and my lovely wife said to me, I really would like you to get off after 3 hours tonight, can you? You know, we kind of have an early morning in the morning, and I told her, I said, I don't know if I can do that. But I'll try. And I'm hoping people are asleep in my house and talk a little lower and all that stuff. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hi, Tony.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great, thanks.
I wanted to just compliment you on emphasizing this thing about the SEC office being in Birmingham. I think it'd be, I would prefer it be in Chicago, staffed by Big Ten graduates, than be in Birmingham. Just look at some of the things. Who has Alabama played twice in the last 4 years as their SEC East non-traditional opponent? Kentucky.
I'm telling you, that opened my eyes today when he says to me, hey, listen, you guys are missing the point on that deal. When you have the league office down there and you have to work around those rabid fans, your kids go to school with them. It's a I've never really thought about it. He said that's why they give them $1 rent, so they can keep them under their thumb. Now, some people are going to say, you guys are just bitching and moaning, you're conspiracy theorists, and Alabama's coming to town next week, and they're going to beat the hell out of you and everything else. Look, I'm saying, here's the deal. If you think for 1 second that Florida and LSU would not play if it had consequences for Alabama getting to Atlanta, deleterious consequences, if you believe that to be the case, then Santa Claus is coming to town, and the Easter Bunny is going to be hopping into your life in March. Point is, this league is all dressed up with nowhere to go. That is a damn joke. The handling of that Alabama thing with LSU is a damn joke, and that is a damn joke, and that's the truth.
I think you ought to be emphasizing it week after week after week, and I've been told by some people in Knoxville that would know that, you know, the SEC office is really defensive about that.
Mm-hmm.
And all the more reason to just emphasize it week after week after week after week.
Well,
until they change something.
And my point is, it isn't like they're a rose garden to us, you know? It is not like, and again, I'm going to say this one more time. Last night, and I got this from Craig Jenkins, who is the gentleman that owns the two TV shows I do here in town, one with Tony Robinson and one with Jerry Glanville. His sister called him last night and said, you want to hear the biggest joke of them all? She said they played every team in the city of Gainesville last night, played high school football.
Yeah.
Now you need to tell me they couldn't play that game. And Bino said it right. The Florida fans were pissed because they want to see their team play. They want to see their team. They wanted to see. I don't blame the Florida fans for this. Jeremy Foley said, I'm going to show this commissioner who's boss. And he did. And he pantsed the league. And then Tennessee goes down to College Station today and gets sacrificed down there by the officials. Now, what did I miss? Josh Dobbs fumbles a football that's not a fumble. It's an incomplete pass in every game I've seen so far this year. Barry gets his brain scrambled on another turnover we have, and there's no call. In fact, there's no review on that. This 12th man is causing all kinds of mayhem on the field and finally gets tagged. And Nigel Warrior goes out and is lost. And by the way, how long did they know that hurricane was brewing out there in the Atlantic? Dare I say, like, last week? It isn't like that's something that just snuck up on them. And how long have we been having hurricane season? About, 400 years? I mean, What did I miss here? Did we miss something? I don't know.
Tony?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want one final thought that, you know, I'm not suggesting when I complain, I'm not suggesting that there is bias, but I've always been taught that the appearance that there could be bias is just as bad as actual bias.
There's no
question.
That's
why I say move it to Chicago. Move the thing to Denver, Colorado. You know, get it out of Birmingham.
The league has the money. Somebody making fun of me tonight on Twitter said, what do you want to do, move it to where there's a bunch of Yankees? Let me help you. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
Paul Feinbaum's living over in Charlotte right now because that's the nerve center. Yeah. Put it in Charlotte. I'll live with that.
Absolutely.
Get it out of our geographic footprint. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I agree.
Are on the verge, if we lose next week, of being screwed. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Thank you for the call. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not here to bitch about it other than to say it's a joke and it needs to be discussed. And you need to call the league office. Call the league office and say, I would like to know if our commish is going to make LSU and Florida play their game. Because I'm going to tell you something. LSU will beat the living hell out of Florida. And they would have smashed them this weekend. And Florida wants none of that. You saw what we did to Florida. Florida wants none of that. And they at least want to wait till their defensive line gets healthy. And they can get their, you say tomato, I say tomato, canned quarterback out of there. Jerry Colquitt now joins us, who breaks games down at TonyBasilio.com. Oh, Cinco, what's up, man? I thought this was Colquitt. What's up, brother? Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I'm not worried about all that other stuff. We can't control any of that. We just got to take care of our own business and hope that karma and the good stuff works out for us. I don't know if I have a top two or three favorite teams, but this team's got to be in there with them. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. You know, people can pick at this and that and this, and that, but it's a game. It's a game played by young kids. Mistakes happen. Other people are more talented than other people. Emotions get involved, whatever. But, you know, if you're a head coach or you're a leader of anything, I mean, three things come to mind that you'd want them to talk about to your subordinates, your players, whatever. Is one, you know, they play hard. I think we can all say that teams under Butch Jones play hard. Two, they don't beat themselves. And you can't really say that today. I mean, that's the take home message. The number one maxim: the team making the fewest mistakes will win, and that held true today. But three. If you're in the military or you're a coach or something like that, when you can say that your people will not quit, they refuse to quit, I don't know what bigger compliment there is to a head coach. Because that, you know, people always say that the team takes on the mentality of their coach, whether that's good or bad. This team will not quit. It absolutely will not quit. And you know what? They lost the game. The other team scored more points. Who cares? That team won in my eyes. Not a moral victory. Not they should have, could have, would have. But I'm so proud of that team and those players. The way they fought. Not through adversity. I mean, they've got four first team essentially all SEC players. Oh, I mean, put Wiseman. Wiseman was an all SEC player last year. Five that didn't finish the game. Didn't start or finish the game. Just absolutely amazing. And there was no complaining. Third team linebackers in there making plays. Just unbelievable. You know, kid with two sprained ankles comes in off the bench because his buddy goes out with a concussion. Just amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
I never seen anything like it, Sink. I mean, the whole concept of the things that I love about college sports are It matters to these kids, okay? And then you get the unpredictable, volatile nature of these games that you don't see on Sunday. Now, the Sunday game is kind of crazy, but the volatile nature of this game, like everybody where we're watching today is going, we've turned the ball over, and it was six times at that point. You can't win a game when you've turned the ball over six times, as if that's some kind of true adage. It sounds like it should be true. Tennessee turns the ball over, Cinco, six times today. In the regulation. Yeah, at the end. The seventh happened at the end. Yeah. But six times. Sure. And they are tied. Tied. Yeah. They come from three scores down. I mean, this team has something different about them. They're just different, man.
Well, I mean, you look at Malik Foreman. That's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. To track a guy all the way to the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And then not try to push him out of bounds, but to try to punch that ball out and be successful at unbelievable effort. I mean, that's heroic effort, quite frankly. And to come off that when he essentially got a get out of jail free card for loafing last week on that last touchdown. To come back, just fantastic. I mean, there's so many things about that, you know, it's cornball, and, you know, like Butch says, life lessons and all that, and we all want to roll our eyes sometimes with what he says. He's absolutely right. I mean, those kids have no quit in them. They're banged up.
Yep.
You don't hear anybody complaining about stuff or the schedules did us no favors or two, three straight weeks, the top 20 play, then going to play Alabama. You don't hear anything. I mean, the Florida thing is beyond ridiculous. I mean, beyond ridiculous.
That they could get away with that? It's absurd.
No, just call it what it is. Yeah. They and the commission, they're pussy. That's what they are.
Well, and let's go back
here.
This is the other thing that kind of gets me about today when I look at that game. And there were so many twists and turns in that game, so many chances for Tennessee to quit. That A&M team and Tennessee in that first quarter, that's the most physical football game I think I've ever witnessed in this league. That thing right there was brutal, the way those two teams were trading shots. And I'm talking bodies were flying in there today. And we don't have any bodies
to
fly.
It looked like a Rocky boxing match.
I mean, that one punt return where there were two cracked back blocks simultaneously, like bang, bang. Yeah. And then they had, and I give them credit defensively, they didn't quit either. Kamara has that long run, and they have a linebacker tracking back who rips the ball out of his hands like you're taught to do. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I tip my cap to them, but I'll tell you this, they were on the run at the end of that game, and we had 700 yards on John Chavis today and got out of there with a loss somehow. 700 yards, and they weren't cheap yards. They weren't garbage yards. They weren't the game's over yards. 700 yards.
Oh, I'd like to address a couple of things. The go for one or go for two, I'm siding with the go for one. I don't disagree with you, but my thought would be that, you know, I don't know at that point if Coleman Thomas is going to bounce another snap off his rear end or if it's going to roll back there. I don't know if Dobbs is going to fumble the ball for the fourth time. So, you know, at that point, you know, are we going to be in a shotgun from the 3 foot line? It would be easy to say that, and I don't have an argument with you. If Butch thought that was the way to go, I'd support him and congratulate him for his cojones in trying to get out of there with a win. Either way, I would have just gone for one because even though we were roached on defense, I didn't think they could stop us at all. And so I kind of was looking at it from the other side. But I don't have a disagreement with you. I think either one was, as long as you make a decision and own it and go for it, that's fine with me. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'll tell you one thing I have to reevaluate though. For 3 years, I've said that Jalen Hurd has run behind an average offensive line and has earned every inch of his yardage. Not so sure about that now. Not so sure about that. I saw two different running backs today
do quite well against that offense, with that offensive line. And that's not to criticize Hurd, because I think Hurd is in the wrong style of offense. I think giving him an eye back with a lead fullback, he's probably a Heisman Trophy winner. But I didn't see the same kind of struggles getting through the line of scrimmage with these two guys that I do with him.
No, and I don't, so I'm gonna I don't give think, the, I think you're right.
I'm going to give the offensive line, I'm going to give them a lot more credit. Not that people will say I'm cracking on Hurd, that's not true.
No.
But I am giving the offensive line a lot more credit, because we were ripping off, and that, they have a quality defensive line and safeties and run support. That's, we were ripping off chunks of yards just right up the middle.
I don't think I'm going to rip the O-line.
Yeah,
our offense doesn't suit Jalen Hurd. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No.
Let's go back to the phones.
No.
865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. This is your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
It's Don.
Hey, Don, welcome.
Careful thing, since you felt like I did, when that kid hooked that game-winning attempt in the last second, did you have any doubt we were going to win this game?
No.
I thought, no. And so I looked at my wife and said, we're fixing to win this game right here. I know you talked a lot about some of the calls and no calls tonight. A couple of them, I haven't heard every word that's been spoken on your show tonight, but most of it that I haven't heard about was, I don't remember if it's a touchdown or just a big play they had. Trevor Knight went past the line of scrimmage, then ran back, and threw the ball, and they had a lineman 7 yards downfield on the play. And there was no call.
Officiating was absolutely horrible tonight, man. I mean, it was horrible. It's horrible.
Did you notice on the touchdown that put them ahead in overtime, the number 89 was mugging, we had two defenders there that run up to it, was mugging one of our defenders all the way to the ground, and it should have been a blocking the back, but didn't get none of that. I'm like, that's about as obvious and plain. I've watched this 4 or 5 times. I mean, he just flat mugged our defensive player from behind and let Knight, you know, jump, you know, hit, spin, and go into the end zone. I mean, we beat ourselves, you know, that's the bottom line. We beat ourselves, but certainly proud of the, you know, all the comeback attempts. But y'all pointed out, like when Jennings caught a pass and they did give us an interference for the first time all night after getting mugged on that, so it kept our drive alive. He caught the ball.
It was an incredible catch. Hey, Cinco, let me ask you about that. Why don't we throw the ball a couple more jump balls to Jennings and let him do his thing?
Well, you could get jump balls, but he's slow for a wide receiver. And, that's about the only way he's going to get any advantages to out jump somebody, because he's not running past anybody. I mean, he had a nice juke with, against Tabor, but he's not getting much separation.
Okay. Why don't we throw more jump balls to him?
Well, I mean, show me. I'm not confident our quarterback can do.
Okay, he's a world class. I don't know about speed wise, but his ball skills, man. If there's anybody better in college football, I'd like to see him, because he flat out can go get the ball.
Well, he's tough.
In the air.
He's tough. There's no question about it. But with Josh Dobbs, after 4 years now, I've learned that you're just gonna have to live with what he does. I mean, what is it? Majors used to say he's a band player. Somebody's band is going to play when he makes the play. You just hope it's your band. I mean, because
pretty good line.
He does some crazy things.
He lives on the edge. Yep, he sure does.
He does some great things. He has, for a smart guy, I'm not sure I've ever seen a quarterback that sees less of the field than he does.
Bino had a good line tonight on him. He had that. He had two times tonight where he tried to pick a ball up and run with it, when either time he just gets on the ball and you've got a different ball game. but his inclination is to try and make superhero type plays. There's really a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, I don't want to. You know, I thought he's a lot like he's a lot like Connor Shaw. You know, I don't know. I didn't know that I would see a kid as tougher than Connor Shaw, but they're very similar players in that. You know, if you want a gunslinger back there that can get streaky, that's your guy. But he's a bipolar quarterback. There's nothing routine about Josh. There's nothing average about Josh. Either it's going to be spectacular or spectacularly bad. And it's, you just hope the averages work out for you. I'm glad he's on our team. I mean, he's a tough mother.
No question. As is 15. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I was just going to say, when we had the ball in the first overtime, too, and they pointed out on the thing, you could tell Josh's reaction. On first down, we just handed it off to Kamara up the middle, got nothing, you know, had second 10. Man, if he keeps that ball, he's got a lot of yards, maybe a touchdown. You could see his reaction. He knew it. He just don't keep it enough, and I know that's crazy sometimes when you look and see what he's done, but that play right there was just, it was right there for us. I know the whole idea of going for two's been kicked around, but after the penalty, I thought we should, but I really think when it was fourth and one, this probably sound crazy, we kicked the field goal in overtime when Malone comes up a little short. I believe I'm going for a first down out there.
Oh, I'm doing that too. I'm not kicking. I'm not, the way the college overtime's set up. I know you have the ball first. I'm not kicking field goals in overtime if I can just dead level avoid it. And, I go there too, but I'm just looking at how gassed we are.
Oh, that's me.
What you had to do to get back into the game. But it's like Bino said, I don't think there are any right or wrong answers in that deal. That's what's so interesting about tonight's game. And that's what you said too, Sean. There's no right or wrong in that deal. I mean, you can make the case either way. But as you said, I mean, you could have a bad snap. There's a million things that go wrong, but you could say the same thing about field goals. So, and you just don't know.
Well, I've heard all night what you call. I've heard people talk about the play calling. Hmm. Nobody has any clue what play calls were made.
Nope.
You have nobody knows. Josh, Jennings could have been targeted 20 times for all we know. And a guard misses a block, or Josh looks the other way. I mean, I've never had an issue with play calling because nobody knows what play's called. Nobody, I mean, their play's called where quarterbacks just don't like to play because they can't throw it. They get a little tight. They don't want to throw across the field, et cetera, et cetera. So I've never had an issue, and I've never met a play caller that wanted to call a bad play. To me, I don't get that. Another about refs, when I hear, and I'm almost 50 years old, I have never heard a home team or a favorite team fan complain that their team got all the calls. When I hear that call sometime in my life, then I will complain about a ref. If you're a bad ref, it you can't just be bad on one team. That's silly.
But you have to admit, Tennessee had some really horrible calls go against them tonight.
They could have. I also
No. Not could have. They did. Not could have.
Well, they did. But I also saw a blatant pass interference on Malik Foreman that wasn't called when he grabbed the guy's jersey. That's textbook pass interference.
Yeah, but nothing rises to the level of that brain-splitting shot.
I didn't see that.
Oh,
to
God.
Be fair, I didn't see
that was disgusting.
But I don't have a problem with baby Dale Carter cracking that guy. That guy deserved it. He should have got his head taken off. And if he got thrown out of the game, so be it. If I'm his coach, I say no problem with that. And I'll tell you another thing. You were talking about earlier. That Miami targeting was a textbook hit.
It was an awesome hit.
That was just like Mosley last year. There's no way that's targeting. They might as well have just changed the rules of if you hit a guy hard, you're getting thrown out of the game.
Yes, And they even looked at that, still threw that kid out, which is really amazing.
He completely led with his shoulder and didn't even hit him in the head. It was an absolute, that's how you would teach it. It's a beautiful play.
It was shoulder to shoulder, too.
Absolutely.
Don, thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
All right, guys. Good night.
Thank you. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402, as we've hit the 1 o'clock hour. If you want to leave a tip, please feel free. And it's available, ladies and gentlemen, over at TonyBasilio.com. Click on the PayPal option, and, thank you for doing so. Let's go back to our phones and get another call in on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in. Hello.
Hey, Tony. How y'all doing this evening?
Doing great. Thank you.
Oh, first and foremost, what a blessing about Danny O'Brien. I mean, that looked as bad as it could possibly be.
That scared me, brother. But that scared me.
I had tears in my eyes at that. I was fearing the worst, but I'm just as thankful as could be. Seems like he's gonna be all right. But guys, as bad as I should feel tonight, I have nothing but optimism. The days of Tennessee football laying an egg and just being walked over are done. They are done.
Boy, that's well put, man.
It feels so good to go into a place like Kyle Field, 107,000 people screaming there. And the way that we competed, we made mistake after mistake.
Yep.
And it could easily have won the game, but we just fought and fought. And I'm telling you, Tony, there's not a doubt in my mind. I don't care how banged up we are. I don't care how many people we got off. I just feel like this Alabama game, it's going to be a W for the Big Orange. I don't have any faith in the SEC to get that LSU-Florida game right, because this league exists to cater to Alabama and Florida.
It's disgusting.
I don't care what anybody says.
It's disgusting. Them letting Florida do what they did this weekend, that is joke of all jokes.
It's
that's disgusting.
In the extreme.
It really is.
Tony? You were talking about the commissioner.
Yeah.
This is actually, he's 0 for 2 in these kind of calls, because he absolutely bungled that Jeffrey Simmons at Mississippi State thing and cowered behind saying, well, it was actually a Mississippi State deal. That's not a conference deal whatsoever. He has personally put in rules that you could not take in transfers from people that had, domestic violence, et cetera. That's a recent rule. So he's had two critical things on his plate, and he's blown them both embarrassingly poorly.
And you know what? In this league, it's hard. It is hard. It is hard to look horrible when you're commissioning something like the Southeastern Conference. It's like trying to make a mess of the NFL. How do you make a mess of that? I mean, you can't help but look like a genius. You have to go out of your way. Here's what you do when you're the commissioner, Sink, and the caller's right. You tell LSU, or you tell Florida, look, you're either playing the game at LSU, or we'll play the game in a neutral site, but we have a week to prepare because that thing is brewing out in the ocean. We're not going to wait till Thursday. You're not slow playing me. And we're going to have a solution. Or you're going to play it on Sunday afternoon like Georgia and South Carolina. And we're going to handle this like normal people. But you not playing the game this weekend is not an option. It is not an option. And it just blows my mind that they let them get away with that. Because, Sean, I was on with you when people were suggesting to me that they were going to, Florida was going to try to get out of playing that game. And I rejected that. I said, there's no way Florida's going to try. And that's exactly what Florida did. Florida got out of playing that game. It's incredible to me that they were able to do that. And hey, good for Jeremy Foley.
Well, they did. And what hardships did Gainesville have that Central Florida, South Florida, Florida A&M, all the Miami,
everybody,
Florida State,
everybody played.
South Carolina. How did anybody have any kind of hardships? I mean, Gainesville was the least affected of all those cities.
How about NC State today? They played the damn lightning storm in a quagmire.
Yeah.
Did you all see that?
Absolutely.
Caller, did you see that game?
I sure did. It was beautiful. I don't think I've laughed that hard in a football game in a long time.
I agree. It was, and the end result of Notre Dame being 1-4. I think they're 1-4 now. Does that mean Brian Kelly's? I don't know. It's insane.
And here's how you know it was botched. You haven't heard one word post cancellation from Foley or Jim McElwain. You haven't heard anybody from the SEC network take these guys to task. You know, everybody. You haven't heard anybody from. Look, who's the biggest loose cannon in the league? Ed Orgeron.
Yep.
They've muzzled him.
Muzzled. He's been flat muzzled.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
And Olivia or whatever his name is at LSU.
Oliva.
He's doing everything he can. Oliva. Mm-hmm. He's doing everything he can to bite his lip.
I love what he's doing. You know what he's saying,
yeah,
which is really smart? He's saying if the league wants us to cancel that bye game, they're going to pay us. They're going to pay us the money for the gate plus the $1.5 million buyout. And he's exactly right. He's got them by the shorties. See, he was amiable. We'll fly in. We'll play Sunday if you need us to. We'll play Friday night or Saturday night late if you need us to. We'll play Monday night. He offered all those things. Now he's saying to the league, look, since you let them get away with that, here's what we want. And this is the truth. This is what he's saying. You're paying our $1.5 million to get out of that. Plus you're going to pay us the $4 to $5 million revenue we would have made on the game within the game itself on ticket sales. On why should we be punished? And you know what? He's exactly right. The league.
Well, I think that's.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's just the monetary. That's the bare minimum, because even if he accepts that deal, he puts his team at a competitive disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
they've got to play three top 20 SEC teams in 13 days.
Which,
that's not right.
Which Gary Danielson asked the commissioner about that today. What about player safety? And what Gary Danielson got from the commissioner was, it only counts when Alabama has the competitive disadvantage. We're not really worried about LSU. That's basically what that commissioner said today. And the whole thing's just a damn fiasco. Here you get the best college football league in the world handled this thing like it's like I don't even know, caller.
Amateur.
Yes. Anything else for us, caller?
Yeah, as much as we didn't like Mike Fly, it kind of makes you wish we had some strong leadership like he had.
Amen. And you know what else it makes you appreciate? A guy like Doug Dickey here in Knoxville never would have let them get away with that back in the day without going to the press. Dave Hart, you couldn't find him with a search warrant right now. And that's pathetic. Thank you, brother. I mean, I'm sorry about that. What the hell are we paying Dave Hart for? Why didn't he get involved? I said, guys, we have some integrity here. We've got to protect what's ours. We got to protect what's ours. Oh, I just got word Dave Hart was getting his hair done on Thursday when that came down. And he was,
you know, the SEC is like a political party.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get if you run your mouth, you'll get shot down, and everything's back deal favors, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's the same thing as how is it that Alabama has three players before halfway through the season that have had guns and marijuana and nothing. Tell me the last time that an Alabama player failed a drug test. What is that? No holding for one calendar year is absurd. No failed drug test at a university, that's even more absurd.
865-200-5402, 1 o'clock hour. We are 4 hours and 41 minutes into this thing we call the Smart Way Garza Law Firm. Fifth quarter fan reaction presented by our friends at Smart Way. They're available online, ladies and gentlemen. Check out the website and see what they do. It's exciting. Go smartwaytn.net. Zach Attack does an awesome job there. And if you want to take your game day experiences to the next level, you can save like never before on the brand name televisions that are available there. Also lines of computers from Apple to Dell to HP, Samsung, Sony, Toshiba. They've got Whirlpool appliances there, all the great brand names, and you're pre-approved right now for $3,000. Go to the website and see what it is we're talking about. They're located at 8416 Kingston Pike and available at by calling 247-6544 is the number. And I also want to say a special word about my man Marcos Garza. I mean, here's the deal. Look, if you're out and about tonight and you're celebrating, I hope and pray that you will call Uber, take a taxi, get a friend to give you a ride home, what have you. I mean, here we are in the wee small hours of the morning. But the bottom line is, if you get behind the wheel of a car and you get pulled over, I want to say this to you. GarzaLaw.com is the website you need. Before you say guilty, say Garza. Marcos has the training. And don't let a mistake compound and ruin your life. Before you say guilty, you say Garza. Online at GarzaLaw.com. GarzaLaw.com. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Tony, my home buddy?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hey, this is Thomas. Hey, live
Thomas.
In Nashville.
Thanks
and,
for calling.
I love listening to the show and all the content you guys put out there. I want to make a comment about the team, and then I have some very interesting news, and I'd like to give you a little background on how I got all this news. First of all, I just want to give major props to this football team. It's been so much fun to watch these guys this year, and with the injuries we had even going into the Florida game, if you'd have told me we're sitting 2-1 right now after this, this four game stretch of death, I'd have been pretty excited and I'd take it. And we're sitting 2-1 with a chance to, you know, rally, hopefully the crowd will just be nuts next weekend. This football team can maybe play out of their mind before a bye week. And, you know, somehow we shocked the world and shocked Bama. I think with the offense that we have and being able to run up the middle, like we did against Texas A&M tonight, just shows how leaps and bounds we've grown, being able to run the ball. And I do think it's a difference between Hurd and Kamara also getting up in between the tackles, and being able to make moves at the line to find holes. So I'm so happy for this Tennessee team. I know it's a loss. And I will say this, after the first 45 minutes after the game tonight, you know, talking to my father, I called my father in Alabama and I told him, Dad, I can't stop smiling. I said, for some reason, I can't get a smile off my face. And I know we just lost this ball game, but for some reason, it just, the way we played and came back, man, it was just one of those experiences that, we wish we'd have won it there at the end, but this team just gives us so much excitement. And it's worth to drive 8 to 9 hours every weekend to see this team, play and to be able to watch them on television on the road. And, but I want to get to something key here. I'm a former graduate of the University of South Alabama, and I am a journalist. I'm a producer for a radio station here in Tennessee, and I've done my due diligence, and I have contacts with the University of South Alabama, and also have contact with the Presbyterian University. So I started making phone calls Thursday afternoon, and don't want to give out any names. You can believe me if you want to believe me. If not, I understand that.
I believe you. Go ahead.
But,
go ahead. I believe you.
But being a graduate of the University of South Alabama, I knew what to do and who to call once I figured out, and everybody was talking about the dates of November 19th. Well, I have been talking to representatives from the University of South Alabama, and I can say they're former colleagues. Worked in the athletic department while I was there for 4 years. And I can also say I've talked to administration people at Presbyterian University. As of 7:30 tonight, and I've had constant contact with both universities over the last 3 days, at least 2 or 3 times a day, they have not received a phone call or an email from the SEC, LSU, or Florida in regards to the buyout or even also moving the game and getting bought out and being able to maybe get some kind of back-end deal over the next couple of years from either team. The key factor in this is Presbyterian That is their last game of the season before they have 2 weeks off before the playoffs begin if they make it in their conference. So I've been told by Presbyterian people is that, well, it really doesn't matter to us because all Florida has to do is give us a call and say, we're not playing that ball game. Here is your $500,000. We don't owe you any more. It's in the contract. All they have to do is pick up the phone.
Right.
The difference between the LSU and South Alabama incident is they're owed $1.5 million.
Right.
They're also going to ask for tickets, refunds. They're going to ask for hotel refunds. And I've been told that the SEC will pay for those buyouts for each team and that they will also, there's an insurance policy that the SEC does have that will take care of the gate, ticket, any kind of money that LSU would need that they would lose from that home game. The SEC takes care of it in an insurance policy because it's a natural disaster, mm-hmm. cancellation or postponement. If it was anything different, it would, SEC would not intervene in that. But as of 7:30 tonight, right when the game ended, that was my last communication, and they have not heard anything yet. So I think it goes to show you that the SEC right now, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they haven't made these contacts. And I'm talking about these aren't just people that work in some, you know, interns. These are people that I know. And I can say with everything I know, the Presbyterian people have not heard anything as well. And I tried to hit it, the story from the other side, not talk with LSU Florida people, talk with Presbyterian and South Alabama
great,
people.
It's a great, you listen, I have people on my Twitter telling me, I don't know why you guys are talking about this. There's no doubt that they're playing that game. And I'm here to tell you right now, I doubt whether they're playing that game. This ain't my first rodeo. And I believe you. It's my living to figure out who's telling the truth. Listen, I believe you. I heard the commissioner today on CBS when they said, we want your word. And he said, basically, I'm not giving you any word. That's basically what he said. He gave him a non-answer answer. Hey, look, that's the wrong answer. The answer is, we've already been on the phone with both those institutions, and we're sorry that South Alabama and Presbyterian, but we're not going to be able, our league member institutions, not going to be able to accommodate them in playing. It's a shame that this storm happened. I believe what you're saying, 1,000%, because I don't hear from that man. I don't hear a commitment to play this game, and that completely makes sense to me. What you're saying, it's a shame.
Yeah, Tony, and there's more to this a little bit, and is what it is. But Florida players' parents received an email Wednesday night, and take it for what it's worth. But they received an email Wednesday night, and I've seen a copy of the email. Telling the parents that they were preparing to go to Baton Rouge to play the football game on Saturday. And then Thursday night is when Coach Mack put an end to this and said, we're not traveling. It's one of our biggest recruiting weekends. It's the only big game that we have at home this year that would actually be able to attract recruits. High school football will be out on Friday night. Everybody will be coming up. Florida was not moving that game out of Gainesville as a Thursday morning because Coach Mack intervened. And I just have to say, I think it's a sham what's going on. And I think Florida's doing everything they can, to make LSU come play, you know, down in Gainesville. And I think right now the situation stands is, look, the two teams that we're talking about, we could talk about LSU and Florida all we want, but the teams they're supposed to be playing, they haven't heard a darn word from them yet. And we're sitting here on Saturday night, and everybody's still talking about this. My last comment is, if Sankey doesn't step up and make this happen, Florida and LSU are not going to do it.
And that's all I got to say. Well, hang on. Before you go, you're telling me that you're a South Alabama graduate. You work you work in my field in the mid-state.
Correct. Yes, sir.
And you're telling me that you've worked your contacts at both Presbyterian and also you've obviously have a network of contacts at South Alabama. And to put a tiny little bell on this thing.
I worked under Jeff Godfrey, the former athletic director at South Alabama.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And to put a tight bell on this, you're telling me that as of tonight, What'd you say? Like 8 o'clock at night or whatever?
7:30 tonight. I got emails. It was actually around 7:35 emails, and this comes from second from the top at South Alabama. They have not received a phone call
that is
from Joe Oliva, an email, or anything from the SEC.
No.
And that also is according to Presbyterian as well. I just reached out to Presbyterian.
That is
I didn't really know anybody there.
Unbelievable.
But I reached out, and I talked to one of the head guys there, and they have received nothing yet.
You know, Doc Sinclair, it really sounds to me like there's a high level of urgency in this league. I mean, you would think the very first thing they would have done is called those two schools and said, guys, that's off. I don't get a sense of urgency here, Cinco, do you?
No, I don't think they're going to play that game. I think
that's right.
A couple things you saw the narrative out of Gainesville was they were trying to shift the focus to LSU about how LSU was averse to doing what this gentleman's proposing.
Mm-hmm.
And Oliva gets up the next day and says, what are you talking about? There's been absolutely no conversation with us about postponing those out-of-conference games or
right.
canceling those buyouts. That's never happened. And then also Oliva said, as of Wednesday night, Foley was telling him that they were set to play the game in Gainesville, that he thought everything would be okay. And then it just, as the caller says, Oliva said, everything changed Thursday afternoon.
So to the caller, I say this to you, and I mean this with all my heart. I appreciate
yes,
you sharing this. I appreciate you sharing that information on here tonight. We broke some news.
Can he forward that parent email to you, Tony? That'd be great.
I would love to see
if you want to redact
stuff out of it. I'd love to see it I could have it for the website for Monday just to show people that they ain't done jack shit. I totally believe that, sir.
I'd be more than happy to. I just keep my name out of it.
I'm a lifelong
Tennessee fan
here,
I thought I'd just call in and let y'all know what really is going on. And, just for my sake, wasn't going to, put myself out there with my first and last name, but,
You don't need to.
This is what's going on.
I believe you.
And I believe you.
Just a last thing to confirm, if I heard you right, sir, I don't know if you said this, but this is the way I interpret this, is that Florida is not out financially because it was a act of God or natural
right.
disaster.
Yes.
Whatever you want to, then insurance policy will pay Florida for their lack of
yes.
of revenue. They don't have, it does not benefit them to make up a game because they've already or will be paid for the game that was canceled.
Right. There is a clause in the SEC conference.
It's incredible.
There's a clause in the rules that say if it's a natural disaster, that the SEC can come in and fund in instances like this, the buyouts of schools if something like this were to come up and they had to reschedule games. So all LSU is going to do is going to ask for, gate revenue tickets, any kind of inconvenience. It's going to be around the $6.5 to $7 million range. The SEC does have that. They have a stack load of money in the insurance policy saved up, so they can easily pay that off, and they can easily pay to South Alabama probably around 1.7. It would be total with travel and expenses and everything entitled. But Presbyterian's always allowed to get $500,000. That's in the contract. Florida does not have to give them anything else. They can say, "Hey, we don't want to play. Here's your $500,000. Now go away." And Presbyterian can't say a darn thing about it because that's in the contract.
Hey, appreciate, well,
the only thing I would wonder about is that I have worked in the insurance agency, insurance business
uh-huh.
with contracts, etc. And I do not believe that Florida would be able to prove that their game was canceled because of a natural disaster. No natural disaster hit that game. They were able
right.
to play
yeah,
that
and that
game
would probably be pretty
on
hard.
Saturday and they chose not to play that game. There's no way an insurance company's going to pay off on that, knowing full well that that game could have and should have been played.
Yeah, that every high school team played last night.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll leave you guys with is,
mm-hmm.
I know y'all made some interesting prank calls down the SEC
yeah.
office
mm-hmm.
The other day. Why
yeah.
don't you make an interesting call down to Dr. Joel Erdman, who's the athletic director at South Alabama? And he'll probably tell you the exact same thing I just told you tonight.
Dr. Joel.
Have a good evening, guys.
Hang on a second.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Joel.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Joel.
Erdman.
How do I spell that?
Erdman.
That's done. I'm going to call him Monday morning. Thank you,
go,
brother.
Guys. Go Vols to you guys. Let's beat Bama next week.
Good talking to you. It's highly important. It's imperative. I mean, people think, and I'm not, and like I said, I've been saying this for a couple weeks. If you want to live in the hope that Tennessee's beating Alabama this weekend, more power to you. Arkansas just lost their best defensive player tonight. And by my count, Florida has exactly, and they're not very good, but they don't play much of a schedule. Florida has that trip to Arkansas. That's on the table. And somebody says, well, Georgia beats them. I don't know. I don't think Georgia's very good. I don't know. Are they going to beat them? I don't know. Them not having,
well, I hope Butch Jones and his players are not spending 1 second thinking or worrying about this stuff.
No, they won't.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's just obviously Dave Hart's not going to. And but I did hear that, in the matter of public safety, I do understand that, that Rick Barnes canceled all recruiting activities, both inbound and outbound, because of the hurricane.
Wow. Wow.
Little cheap shot after midnight.
He didn't hear it.
Exactly.
865-200-5402. The thing about this that really frustrates me though is what we should be talking about on here and what the focus should be is that Tennessee's kids played a damn miraculous football game today for everything that happened around them. And that staff
really
and those
did.
Kids, and they somehow stayed around, hung around, did just enough. And you know what, Doc Sinclair, if I'm an A&M fan, I'm looking at my team and my head coach and I'm saying, you just had an opponent turn the ball over 6 times. Now I'm not going to count the one and over, I'm just talking six turnovers to our one. And you're holding on by a thread? What the hell's going on? I mean, how do you explain that? And they almost lost the game. That's think about that. That's incredible, man. Let's go back to our
I don't think they're as tough. I don't think they're as tough as Tennessee is.
No.
And I believe me, I have thought we have been a soft program for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I'm being realistic, I don't have a big problem with the loss today because you know what? In life, you don't get to go through week after week after week of shooting yourself in the foot, making these mistakes, and not paying a price for it.
No, that's right. That's right.
It's not that I wish a loss on Tennessee.
No.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, as hard as they worked, as tough as they worked, frankly, they got what they deserved. We got what we deserved. I'm not going to say they. When it's bad, we got what we deserved, and so be it. Let's go on to the next one. You said before the season, if we lose a game and we stand up there and bloody them, give as much as we get, then I can walk away from that, and that's the way I look at this game. I'm okay with it. Turn the page. Proud as heck of those guys. In fact, even more proud than the games they've won this year.
Oh, I'm so proud of that. Yeah. I don't know what that makes me or makes you, but I walk away from that today going, every team I've ever followed would have completely quit in that game. There's just no doubt. I mean, I just know. So little today in sports, do you ever walk away from something and you go, man, I identify with that. Because I've had days that are just awful. And in this world, you've got to keep spinning and keep fighting. Even when it's getting away from you, you just got to keep fighting. And that team today, like that Foreman play, that's a 2-touchdown game and the game's over. If he does not run that man down to the last drop. Let's get our next call in on your Smartway Garza Law Firm 5th quarter fan reaction. It is now 1:30 Eastern time and we've cracked the 5-hour mark. Hello and welcome in. Yes, that's you.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
How are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, man. How are you doing?
Fantastic. It's a
long drive back to Knoxville, but a great experience. Texas ball game. Our
team
played hard. Our fans cheered hard. We stayed to the last second. You know, just a it was an experience. It's one that a Tennessee fan will never forget. That's for sure.
Tell me about, first of all, where are you right now? Are you on the road?
We're on the worst roads in Texas in the history of our Louisiana now. We just got into Louisiana, probably 100 miles from Shreveport.
Wow. And are you driving all night?
We'll probably stop at some point in time. The adrenaline's still kind of kicking in, so we're kind of battling.
So you've been,
tell us about the atmosphere there. I mean, everyone's